Okay, let's turn now to payday lenders, those short-term high-interest lenders. There are new restrictions across the country on what they do. Nearly 20 states now ban payday lenders or impose interest rate caps that discourage such companies from setting up shop. Still, a new report out today shows that some payday lenders are finding a way around these limits by teaming up with Native American tribes. Mike Hudson wrote the report for the Center for Public Integrity and joined us to talk about it.
One of the ways that payday lenders have tried to get around state laws is by operating on the internet rather than from the strip mall storefronts we're used to seeing. Some of the states have cracked down on this by saying, hey, if you're lending to our citizens, it doesn't matter where you're based. You have to follow our rules. So a new wrinkle emerged when California regulators tried to shut down a group of online payday lenders. They were surprised when lawyers for the Miami Tribe of Oklahoma and the Santé Sioux Nation pushed their way into the case and said these lenders are owned and operated by the tribes and therefore they enjoy tribal nation sovereignty, which makes them immune to state laws.
Before we go on, remind us why these loans are called payday loans and why consumer advocates are so critical of them.
Payday lenders make small short-term loans. In a typical transaction, a customer might pay $50 in a finance charge to borrow $300 that's scheduled to be paid back in 2 weeks when the customer's next paycheck comes around. Often the cost of the loans work out to annual interest rates of 400% or more. Payday lenders, you know, they say they provide a reasonably priced service and that they're a bargain compared to what people pay when they get hit with a bank overdraft or a reconnection charge for unpaid utility bill. But the critics say that the borrowers often can't cover the repayment, so they're forced to roll over their loans multiple times, and the fees start accumulating like a cartoon snowball rolling down the hill. And one of the lawsuits in California involving tribal-affiliated lenders, the customer claims that she borrowed $300, and then over the next 5 months, the lender debited $977 from her bank account and then told her she still owed $430.
What do the tribal groups say about why they're doing this?
Attorneys for the tribes say that the lenders are legitimate arms of the tribes and that the loans are approved on Native American land. And, you know, they say that generations ago they were forced to relocate to wastelands and they need an industry that can provide them income to pay for police protection and housing and other services.
Is there any way to stop Native American tribes from teaming up with these payday lenders?
If the tribes are legitimately running the show and actually owning and operating these lenders, then it might be difficult for many states to regulate them.
What then does this very complicated fight tell us then about the battle for financial reform?
It's going to be very tough. The folks who want tougher regulations on lenders have some pretty strong adversaries in the financial industry, whether it's payday lenders or mortgage lenders. The lenders have many lawyers on retainer who spend a lot of time thinking, reading the laws and figuring out how they can avoid getting put out of business.
Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Renee.
Mike Hudson is a writer at the Center for Public Integrity. His new book is called The Monster, How a Gang of Predatory Lenders and Wall Street Bankers Fleeced America and Spawned a Global Crisis.